Recording in progress.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. We are back after the bye week with the football team and ready to kind of dive into everything related to Purdue sports as things kind of pick up now with football, of course, in full swing. Volleyball is about to really kind of hit their stride, and don't look now, but game official regular season game one for the men's basketball team is less than a week away and is next Monday, November 4th, which just seems crazy to think about. I feel like we were just going through the wave of emotions last March, but we're ready for another year. And that'll get started. So a lot of exciting stuff going on. Sim, I hope you had a good little break there. I'm sure everybody missed this, but let's get right into it, man. So let's start with the basketball. The men wrapped up their second, I guess you'll call it second, exhibition game, and Mackey, if you're listening, it was Wednesday night, so I won't say last night, but they wrapped it up, and it was exactly what you wanted to see happen. A 99 to 41 victory. And that was after a game last weekend. They went to Creighton. And that was a game, Sim, I know you're able to watch some of. And I think that obviously that one is probably one you're going to want to take more from just because of the talent level. But kind of just initial thoughts kind of what jumped out to you after those exhibition games.
I mean, I watched, like you mentioned, I was able to watch that the Creighton matchup. And that one was, it was refreshing, to watch a Purdue team play. And more so, this is a shot at football. But it was refreshing to watch a Purdue team play and be competitive. I'm just speaking more so on the Creighton game because that's the one I watched. But you could, Braden was a lot more. He was a lot more aggressive, offensively. Like, I mean, he got 20, shot 23 times. I don't think we can say that about a game, at least in regulation last year. We might have done the same. You just and I've been trying to look at the entire, but really at both games as like this is just more experimental, not trying to really get over. Just trying to stay even keel, not get too high, not get too low. Because obviously I didn't like the fact that they lost to Creighton, but also I knew that the game didn't count, and I knew that Painter and Co were it was the first time of them getting to see some guys like in live speed and trying out different lineups and whatnot. But you definitely can tell that you can definitely tell that with Jacare and then with CJ Cox that those are going to be two guys who are getting, I think I would say, significant minutes day one. I think that Daniel Jacobson will get quite a bit of run as well. He played almost like 19, played the better part of 20 minutes. And I think the issue for him is just going to be like his actual, like his physical size, just like weight, because I think Painter likes the fact that he is like a, he's a rim protector, which I know you'd mentioned when we were talking about this offline, but the fact that he's like a true rim protector and even has the ability to step outside and hit the three, because he did splash one against Creighton. I think that he's a guy who Painter is very eager to play more and give and and really kind of get him involved in what we're doing. But I feel like one hindrance for him is just going to be his size. Just like he's just light. He's light for given his height. But yeah, man, it was really refreshing to see even in that Creighton game. We got down by like double digits, came all the way back, I believe took the lead. So it was nice to see. And I think just the theme for me with this Purdue team, at least early on in the season, is just going to be patience. You know, the thing that the Colts aren't doing with Anthony Richardson, just patience, because you have a lot of new guys who you have a lot of new guys in general. And then you also have guys who are playing in, who are playing in advanced roles. So just like they have a bigger role, rather they have a bigger role than what they had last year. So there's going to be some growing pains that come along with it. So I'm just trying to, I know I'm trying to tell myself to not really get too bogged down in what might happen early season. I'm trying to be more concerned about what this team looks like once they get into conference play, more so, you know, mid to late January. And I think that's when, you know, by then Painter will have his rotations kind of figured out. You'll kind of see guys who hopefully have kind of figured out the college game. And then, yeah, we're kind of going to go from there.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the big, obviously, you know, thing that stood out that everybody's talking about on Twitter is the play of the two freshman guards with Harris and CJ Cox. And just one thing I wanted to highlight with them is in both games, neither one has a turnover in either game. So, you know, that's pretty impressive on the road at Creighton. And then just at home, you know, it's your first time in Mackey. The crowd is hyped. The adrenaline is going to be going. And that's kind of time where you might see just a little sloppy play. And then in a blowout, too, you might see some sloppy play. And neither one of those guys turn the ball over. And when you have two freshman guards that can do that, that to me really, really stood out. The other interesting thing is I don't know what the fifth spot is going to be in the starting lineup. But given Harris has started both games, he seems to have locked down one of those two spots. I mean, going in, I think it was obviously pretty clear that Braden Fletch and Trey were going to have three of the five spots. And now it seems like Harris, you know, if he's starting both games, has played pretty good in both games, don't see any reason why he wouldn't start. That to me was kind of interesting. And then, you know, I still don't know who's going to have that last spot in the game against Creighton. It was Berg. He got into a little bit of foul trouble and only played 8.5 minutes, which kind of opened the door, like you said, for Daniel Jacobson to play. And he played, well, I thought really well. And then he was rewarded with a start, this week in the exhibition game. And so, you know, that's going to be kind of the interesting thing, at least early on, is who's going to get that last starting spot. And is it going to be Berg? Is it going to be Jacobson? Is it going to be Caleb first? And maybe, you know, he just didn't start because you already know what you're going to get with him. So right. You wanted to get other guys run. That to me kind of is going to be the most interesting thing starting off, is who's going to get that last starting spot.
Yeah. There was a little part of me that thought maybe that final starting spot would go to like Cam. But when you have three guys, and I include Burgess with this, but when you have that type of size between Burgess, Jacobson and Berg, you're kind of doing your, I just feel like it would be hard, but like we'd be hard pressed to not start one of them. And plus like the prospect of what your second unit could be between CJ Miles, Cam, like just with those three coming off the bench, and then whoever it is who isn't starting, I think there's obvious potential there. But yeah, I think that's, I didn't realize until you pointed it out how Harris had started both games, but yeah, having seen that he started both of them, it wouldn't surprise me if he has actually like locked down a starting spot, because we've seen obviously with Fletcher and Braden that Painter's not afraid to start a true freshman if they've, you know, if all summer and whatnot, they've been putting in the work and you know, they've been doing everything that's been asked of them. You know, he's not afraid to reward that. Which, and I think for us, like, as you know, as fans, and just that just bodes well, I think, for us, so like for our team, is just the fact if you have a guy who comes in and he's able to immediately contribute to the point where Painter trusts him enough to start him. you know, you liked what that does for us going forward. So yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting, and we'll find out. I think we'll find out on Monday, obviously, for sure. But even still, I wouldn't take it as like in stone. Like I think last year we had the same starting lineup every game, and I could see it not being the case this year, but more so it not being that case, like probably more so through the non-con. And then once we get into conference season, I would imagine that that's when Painter and co would want to have their starting lineup figured out, at least some general ideas of like what they're going to do rotationally, stuff like that. So I don't know if it was me, I mean, if you're asking me like what I think Painter wants to do, I think he wants to start Jacobson, but I think what he's going to end up doing, he's going to end up starting Berg. But Berg might get a quick hook.
Yeah, and I think to your point, kind of when you were talking about Cam, and including Miles in that conversation as well, is I think Painter just really likes that combo of those two coming off the bench, and now if you bring in PJ Cox off the bench too, those three, man, the offensive like firepower that you can bring off the bench and really, you know, not lose a whole lot is one thing that I think is really gonna be interesting to watch. And then the last thing I just kind of want to make sure we touched on, because I feel it's kind of, he continues to kind of fly under the radar, and that's TKR. I mean, he played really well in both games. Now, granted, in the Creighton game, he wasn't as efficient as you would have liked, 10 of 20 from the field, especially for a, you know, a predominantly post player. You'd like to see that percentage be a little higher, but 22 points, 8 rebounds, and then he follows that up with what would have been his first ever double-double, I believe. And he finished with just, I mean, you talk about efficient. In 16 minutes, he took the 7 shots, made all of them, including a 3-pointer, had 10 rebounds, an assist, and a steal.
That's an efficient day at the office.
Not too bad. So just wanted to, you know, just make sure, you know, he's obviously kind of flown under the radar, playing in a front court with the 2-time national player of the year. And then this year, you know, I feel like Braden, you know, has got all kinds of notoriety, and deservedly so. And now kind of the freshmen are getting hyped up early on too, but don't sleep on him, man, because he has hit the ground running this year, and that's really good to see, because he's going to be such an important piece for Purdue to kind of do what they want to do this year.
Yeah, I think he's got to be in your front court. He's going to be what you hope is like your mainstay. So in terms of like knowing what you're getting from him night in and night out, and like I think teams knew last year, like, hey man, like when Zach's gone, like we still have to worry about him. And you saw it various times last year where, you know, he gets going and, you know, we would run sets for him and whatnot, especially like coming out of the second half. I felt like a lot of times, like he would end up getting, you know, a few quick buckets. I remember the Illinois game. I was there, and I remember he started off so hot. So it's definitely important. He's definitely going to be a key to what we're able to do, or to, you know, what level of success we have this year. I think that like we as fans, I think we might forget about him just because, like you said, with the excitement of just the overall season, newcomers. And then, you know, when you're seeing some of the award notifications and you're seeing that it's just more so Braden and Fletcher, I think that's how you can find, you know, TKR getting lost in it. But I don't think other teams are going to forget about him. I mean, I kind of hope they do, so that way maybe he can average like 20 and 15 on people, and like, yeah, it just gets better that way. But but yeah, he definitely had a really good game against Grand Valley State, which is obviously what you expect against that type of competition. And then even though he wasn't as efficient against against Creighton. He did have a lot of good looks, and obviously with 20 shots, you'd like to think that, you know, if he's getting that consistently, that he's going to be able to make more than 10. And then I think just the fact that he's able to step out and confidently shoot that three, and if he's able to make it, that just adds a whole new wrinkle to what he can bring us. So yeah, definitely haven't forgotten about him, and if you have, you might want to get reacquainted quickly.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say, and you know, just nitpicking with him, is in the Creighton game, he went 2 of 5 from the free throw line, which has kind of just been his bugaboo early on in his career. But again, just really excited to kind of see, you know, him really hit the ground running there. And, you know, that's going to be it as far as exhibition games. They're all going to start to count now. And it's going to get real. And it's time to kind of, you know, it's going to be neat. It's going to be really cool Monday with the banner, you know, seeing that Final Four banner hanging up in the rafters. It's going to be really cool. I hope, you know, everybody gets a chance to kind of see that and kind of take that moment and let it soak in. But then it's kind of time to flip the page, and you know, there's a lot of potential with this team as well. And, you know, it's time to kind of get the show going there. And that's what they're going to do Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern in Mackey, against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So it'll be on Big Ten Network, so you don't have to worry about it being on BTN Plus or trying to find any kind of stream or anything like that. It'll be on just the regular Big Ten Network. Monday, it gets real.
We did it, folks. We made it back to basketball season.
But again, taking that moment and when they raise that banner, and just remember how awesome it was last March, because that was really cool. So gonna be a really cool moment there. But let's switch gears a little bit and kind of flip the page. And we're gonna talk a little volleyball now. We're gonna still stick in Mackey Arena, as the Boilermakers hosted their second game of the year in Mackey last weekend, against Wisconsin. And you know, that was kind of one game similar, and I think we had even talked about it when it happened. It was just one of those games where just nothing kind of went right for the Boilermakers. And you know, it was one of those games where, like, you can't really blame it on a play here or a play there. It was like they were just better than us that day, and give credit to them. They came into a really tough environment and showed why they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, man, it was I agree. It wasn't like necessarily pointing at one thing. Wisconsin just came in, and like they're at the time they were ranked number 8, but based on what I heard, like when, because you know, I was watching, it was on NBC, based on what the announcers, the broadcasters were saying, is that, you know, they had some people who were coming back from injury, so like they were number 8, but like they were number 8 despite the fact that they had some people who were kind of rounding back into shape, one of which being Sarah Franklin, who I believe is the reigning national player of the year. She like she like hurt her ankle or something like that in the offseason, so she'd been like trying to rehab and get back from that. Yeah, I mean, like, it just, I remember that, like, the first set was, you know, it was 6-4 Purdue. Obviously, Mackey's rocking. And you're sitting here thinking, like, especially coming off of, like, thinking about, like, the Nebraska game, you know, how well they did playing at Nebraska. You're thinking, hey, at home, you know, we can, you know, possibly pull an upset here. You know, it was 6-4 Purdue. And then all of a sudden, Wisconsin ran off 12 straight. And then it was, yeah, so it was 16-6. And even though like the first couple sets show, I think it was what, 25-20 and maybe 25-23, those sets weren't actually as close as it seemed. I mean, Wisconsin served really well. We had a lot of problems. I mean, they only had 5 aces, but there were a lot of points where from like we had trouble handling the serve. And then, you know, so we're out of system from the jump. And so you're not able to set up a good counter. And yeah, just overall, like our ball control per se, which wasn't, it just wasn't what it needed to be. And kudos to Wisconsin, man, because they came in and they were focused, and you know, they have a crazy front, tall front line. You know, Sarah Franklin, I believe, is like 6'4". They have another girl, Anna Schmreck. I think she's like 6'7". And I think there's another girl they have there who's like 6'9". So, I mean, like, that's a lot of size that to have to negotiate. The libero, Lola Schumacher, she was solid. What now?
I said one was Calvin Booth's daughter too.
Yeah, Carter Booth. Yeah, she's a Calvin Booth's daughter. So yeah, they have a lot of size there. They were just really, really good. So I mean, I feel like there's nothing to hang your head about if you're Purdue. I mean, obviously you don't like getting swept. You sure as hell don't like getting swept at home. But that was just one of those where Wisconsin was a buzzsaw, and we were in their way, man. It was like we brought plastic spoons to a gunfight. And then obviously in the third set they just were like, yeah, okay, we need to end this show now. So kudos to Wisconsin, but you know, the ladies have an opportunity to bounce back from that this weekend. So we're gonna hope that they're able to turn it around.
And looking ahead to the games this weekend, it's two games on the road, but two very much get right games, and really two games that you just kind of have to win. Just looking at the two teams, so they play, they'll play at Maryland on Friday, November 1st. That's a 6:30 p.m. Eastern time start. That's going to be on BTN. And then they will travel to Piscataway on Saturday and take on Rutgers. That'll be, I believe, a 7 p.m. Eastern start, which I think is going to be on Big Ten Network Plus. But I mean, just if we're being quite frank, these two teams are not very good. Maryland 1-9 in the Big Ten, and Rutgers 0-10 in the Big Ten, 5-16 overall. So these are just kind of two games you can kind of get right, for lack of a better term, kind of take out some of your anger from last weekend, and kind of try to reset everything. I think it's a good time, you know, to get these games. You can kind of reset, refocus, and really just kind of go on the road and try to just make sure you take care of business there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You have an opportunity yet to kind of get back on the winning track, and based on what you said in terms of what Maryland and Rutgers records are, you like our chances going in there. Obviously, they have to go out and actually like execute that and take care of it. But my hope is that, you know, we're sitting here on after, you know, next week, and we're talking about how they had two strong performances and two strong wins to get back on that on the winning track.
Yeah, and kind of get that momentum and everything kind of headed towards, you know, as we kind of head towards the last part of the Big Ten schedule and into kind of the NCAA tournament there, to really kind of get that momentum going. Because, you know, it's not like, you know, I don't think anybody's really worried about Purdue being like a bad team. Like, you know, they're the 11th ranked team in the country right now. They've won seven of their last nine matches, and their only two losses have come against top 10 programs. So I don't think anybody's like hitting the panic button. But these are just two games this weekend that you just got to make sure you handle your business.
Yeah, these are winnable games, and so you have to win them. Yeah, that's honestly what I should have said before. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So good luck to the Lady Boilers as they hit the road on the East Coast there. And like you said, hopefully next week we're having a talk, just, you know, how they went out and handled things. I don't think, you know, we're expecting them to sweep both games or anything like that, but I mean, honest, if we're being honest, they really shouldn't be close. But at the end of the day, as long as you come out with wins, you know, that obviously that's kind of what you want at the end of the day, is just kind of get back on the track, start that new winning streak, and try to get that momentum going for the last part of the Big Ten schedule there.
Yep.
All right, so now let's talk about everybody's favorite topic. Like we said, the football team is back. They are getting ready for game number 8 and looking to get win number 2 as they host the Northwestern Wildcats again. I feel like I do this every week, but got to give another shout out to like the crowd. Like it's a sold out game, noon kickoff at Ross-Ade, for, you know, a team that's really struggled this year. So, you know, just the fact that the crowd and the fans support is still there, you know, it's just, you know, just a shout out to the fans for kind of sticking with everything there. Now, if things start to head south in this game, it may not look like a full stadium at Ross-Ade by about 3 o'clock Eastern time, but at kickoff, it should be a sold out Ross-Ade stadium. But the big thing, you know, of course, the big news, everybody was wondering who's going to play quarterback. Is it going to be Ryan Brown? Is it going to be Hudson Card, who should be cleared and be ready to play? And the answer is both of them. And Sim, I know we both kind of have our thoughts on this. I'm of the mindset, I think it was John Madden that said it, that if you have two quarterbacks, you have zero. And, you know, I'm just not a fan of the two quarterbacks. It feels like whoever is second, they're kind of getting forced into action. And it doesn't really let that starter most of the time, I feel like, get into any kind of rhythm. And, you know, I could be totally wrong and they could just come out and ball out, but I'm just not a fan. Like we said, I just don't feel like you let a quarterback get into any kind of rhythm. And then like everybody knows that the other quarterback is going to play. So like he's kind of forced to come in and play at some point. And I don't like that mindset going into a game, but curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way Brown would have probably been starting, like he would have been starting for sure. And like, hey, we just would have rocked with him, was if he had been able to really, basically been able to continue showing what he showed against Illinois, against Oregon. And I think when that didn't happen, I think that's what opened the door for this current situation that we're going to have, where you're going to have both of them play. I agree with you in the fact that if you're going to be playing both of them, it doesn't necessarily allow one of them to get into a rhythm. But my hope is that while they plan on playing both, it's one of those where if Brown's in the game and we have something going offensively, they're just going to let him ride. And then the same thing with Card, where like if he gets in and he gets going, just ride with that person, because the constant switching back and forth, like you said, it not only doesn't allow, I think, the quarterback to get into a rhythm, but also I think it doesn't allow the whole offense to get into a rhythm, because I think we can all agree that Brown is much more willing to, like, he's much more willing to run. And I feel like if you're an O-lineman, if you're a running back, if you're a wide receiver, you kind of know that. And I think that even though, you know, Walters came out and said after the Illinois game that it's been told, that he's told, you know, both quarterbacks that this is the way that they were going to play going forward. So you're going to by force, then you're going to probably see Card run more. Still think that he's still very much so like pass first. So I agree with you, man. I'm not, this kind of takes me back to, you know, the Brohm days when it was Sindelar and Blau, and then believe Blau and,
Plummer.
Yeah. And how like every game you just kind of knew, oh man, you're a couple bad possessions away, a couple bad turnovers away from there being a QB switch. So I don't know. I'm anxious to see how this two quarterback thing goes. Like I said, if they're just going with like, we're going to ride the hot hand and we're just going to give both quarterbacks a shot and just ride the hot hand, like that I feel like is okay. But like you can't, like if Card drives you down and you have two straight scoring possessions, you can't then just pull him and then put in Brown. Like that would be, to me, that would be a mistake. And so I hope it's not something like that, but again, we'll see. And like you said, it's interesting the fact that the fans, and I say we, cause I mean, as a season ticket holder, like I'm going to be there on Saturday, but the fact that, you know, you continue to have fans who show up. I will also say, because of the fact that you're playing Northwestern, it wouldn't surprise me if you see a fair amount of purple. I think that purple might seem a little bit larger, like you said. If this game starts to go south, it'll sound more like maybe more like Northwestern. But yeah, it is a shout out to all the fans for continuing to show up and continuing to support the team. And you just hope that one of these games that we're able to surprise some people and get a win, because it would be nice to be talking about one of those, but not having to rely on other sports.
Let me ask you this without going too far down the rabbit hole and far of in like as far as head coach talk and stuff. How much of a must-win game do you think this is? Because you know, and I mean just from mentally, like confidence wise with this team, I think everybody, you know, after those couple of losses, and then you had Illinois and Oregon, and you were like, well, at least we got Northwestern here, we should beat them. And you know, looking at the schedule, realistically, this is obviously their best shot they have to win another game this year. You know, you can probably throw in the Michigan State game as well. But just from, and I guess not even from like a coach, like I'm not trying to say like from a coaching, like for his job, but the team in general, just from a confidence standpoint, this just feels like a mega important game just to play well and get a win and just have something positive for the program.
Yeah, I would agree that I think that this is a big opportunity for the entire team, you know, coaches, players. I think that you did, you know, as we saw the Illinois game, I think offensively you were able to unlock something, and you were going to be hard pressed to do it up against Oregon. But now with, you know, you've had another bye week, so more time to practice, more time to install some possibly a couple new wrinkles, but to also just continue to refine on what you had more recently been able to do. And the fact that, yeah, this Northwestern game appears to be a winnable game. And as much as you can take positives out of good performances where you lose, like there was good to take out of that Illinois game, despite the fact that we lost. I think that, you know, that only goes so far. And at some point you need to be able to have a win to show for it. I think it would be good for, you know, the fan base. It would be good for you and I. So we have something good to talk about. I think it'd be good for the players. It'd be good for Walters, and the entire coaching staff. I definitely feel like this is a game where you really, really have to at least perform well. You really, really do. But I genuinely think if they perform well, that they should be able to win this game. And that's going to be, that's important. That's important because then it'll, from a talking standpoint on the back end, and you're like, look, okay, like we do have something here. We do have something good, something positive that we can point to and look at as like a possible stepping stone, because everything feels so dire surrounding football. Cause like you said, you know, we spent 3-4 weeks where teams are just hanging 50 on us, literally hanging 50 on us. And, you know, to finally be able to break that and then also get a win. I feel like that would just be such a breath of fresh air. So refreshing for everyone involved with Purdue football. So yeah, I do think you have to have this one. And like you said, there might not be a more winnable game the rest of the year than what you have on Saturday, because even though you're going to Michigan State isn't great, that Michigan State game is a Friday night game on the road. And I can see that being a game where Michigan State looks at And in terms of their crowd sellout and the crowd turn support and just the energy that typically comes with a night game like that, you know, as we were talking about prior to Oregon, I think that the same thing will probably apply in that Michigan State game. And that's just going to be difficult just because of the pure fact that it's on the road. So you might not have a better opportunity the rest of the way in than this game. And it would be nice to be able to have this win to then show like, yeah, we do have something here. Like I, you know, like I said earlier. So yeah, I don't know if it, I mean, you can almost this might be as close to like a must win for a program that isn't necessarily playing for something in the sense of like a conference championship or a playoff berth, you know, something like that. But yeah, so I wouldn't call it like a straight up must win, but I definitely feel like you should like this game should not be a blowout. It should not be a blowout where Purdue is getting blown out. That's, it should not be that. And I genuinely feel like if you're going to win another game this year, this is the best one. This is the best one. It's the best opportunity you're going to have. Also, yeah, with the bye week, you're able to let people get healthy and rest up. It seems like, you know, as a wise man I know once says, it seems like they're due.
They gotta be due, right? But we will see what happens again.
Take Northwestern money line then.
It's set for 12 p.m. on Saturday at Ross Aid. You can catch that game on Big Ten Network as well. That'll just about wrap everything up here. Appreciate everybody. Again, this support from everyone. Keep telling all your friends, your family, your coworkers. Spread the word. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. Hopefully, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're going to be talking about a Purdue victory in football, a Purdue sweep in volleyball, and Purdue 1-0 in basketball. And I really, really, really hope that I'm right on that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. One thing I'm thinking about right now is like, if you beat Northwestern, do you storm the field?
You might. Why not?
Hey man, if you see me down there, just know I'm about to Euro step around some security.
It's gonna be one drunk guy storming the field and y'all wave and say, "Hey Sim," because that's gonna be him running around. But no, I think I have high hopes. So that means probably next week when we record, I'll be down in the dumps talking about how crappy everything is. But as of right now, we're gonna hope. It's going to be a good weekend for Purdue athletics. But no matter what happens, we'll be back next week to break it all down. And once again, thank you everybody for listening, and boiler up.
Yes, sir.